We'll begin with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that you be with us by your Holy Spirit now as we study your word and open our hearts and make them good ground so that the seed which is here sown may sprout and grow and produce fruit unto perfection. I pray this in your name. Amen. I'd like to begin, as we normally do, by welcoming those who are worshiping with us by means of the tapes. I'm very glad to have you with us and invite you to open your Bibles with us to John chapter 12. This morning we're going to be looking at verses 37 through 41. And we've come to a real tragic point for many people in this gospel. Because at this particular point, the public ministry of Jesus Christ is now over. The door has been closed, and it'll never be opened again. It was quite early in his ministry that one day the Lord went down to the seashore, was followed by multitudes, and he began to speak in parables. And the first parable that he spoke was the parable of the sower and the seed, and it goes this way. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, for they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Throughout our study of the Gospel of John, we have seen the truth. The tragic truth in many instances of the first parable that came from the lips of the Son of God. As we look at the parable, there are four types of soil. The sower, of course, is the Good Shepherd, the Son of God. The seed that he sows is his word. And the four types of soil represent the hearts of those who hear that word. One type of soil ended up producing fruit. Three types did not. And as we've moved through the Gospel of John, we've seen this parable illustrated over and over and over. And to see it happening in our own day too, it answers a lot of questions for us if we only believe it. A short time ago, the Son of God had stood in the temple and made the shocking statement, "I am the light of the world." And most of the Jews who heard him chose rather to remain in darkness, and they rejected the light. And finally, this final scene as it unfolded, a final scene in the public ministry of Christ, where he's talking about the greatest victory that has ever been won, about him being lifted up on the cross. And he said, "If I am lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." And the people had two questions. The first one was, well, we have heard that the Messiah is going to live forever. How can you say he must be lifted up? That was the first question. And the second question was, who is this Son of Man? At this point in the Gospel, we can well say there is no hope for anyone who would ask these questions. These are questions that normally would be asked in kindergarten class. But this is not kindergarten class. For 3 years, the Son of God has preached throughout the land. He's taught. He's worked one miracle after another. And these people are without excuse. They shouldn't be asking questions like this anymore. And the scene closes tragically. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. They had taken one step too many. And now finally, the door was closed. When the Son of God hides from someone, that person is involved in a deadly game of hide and seek, which they will not be able to win. And so the public ministry of Jesus is over now. From chapter 13 on in John's Gospel until the darkness of Gethsemane, we find the Good Shepherd alone with his little flock. From chapter 37 of John, chapter 12 on, verse 37 to the end, the Holy Spirit gives us a summary of the ministry of the Son of God here on this earth. And the picture, humanly speaking, is not a pretty one. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" There are two things here in Isaiah's quote. The first thing is the report. Who hath believed our report? These are words. And the second thing is, to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm of the Lord represents His strength. And in the ministry of Jesus Christ, this would relate to His miracles. So the report would be His preaching and teaching. The arm of the Lord would be His miracles. And the question is, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And the tragic truth is that the entire ministry of Jesus Christ, by and large, by the multitudes, was absolutely, totally rejected. Now, we've seen this over and over in the parable of the sower and the seed as it played itself out. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. Now, the Son of God explained this. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that received the seed by the wayside. Hard-hearted, the seed could not make a dent. The word went in one ear and out the other. And as we've looked at the Gospel of John, we've seen many, many, many instances of this. Now, right before the Lord Jesus gave his Sermon on the Mount, he was followed by multitudes. And they heard some of the things that he said, and they saw some of the things that he did. But when he climbed up into the mountain, only his disciples followed him up there. The rest of the multitude just simply went away. Some seed fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. The Savior explained this type of ground in this way. He that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that hears the word and immediately with joy receives it. Yet he has not root in himself, but he endures for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, he is offended. Oh, we've had some examples of this also in the Gospel of John, haven't we? Remember that man that was born blind? The one that had been blind every single day of his life. He spent his whole life sitting there begging until the Son of God came. Receive thy sight. And immediately, the blind man saw for the first time in his life. But the miracle was done on the Sabbath day, which according to the Jewish hierarchy was a no-no. And so the inquisitions began. First of all, viciously attacking the blind man who had been given his sight, but also going over to his parents. They talked to his parents. Said, "Is this your son? Was born blind? How did it happen that he received his sight?" Remember what they said? His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself." Now you tell me that they weren't interested enough in their son to find out how he received his sight? The Holy Spirit tells us why they reacted the way they did. "These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore," said his parents, "he is of age. Ask him." Now they received the word at first, but when it cost them something, when tribulation came because of the word, they turned back. This is no new thing. We're going to see the same thing further on in John chapter 12. Verse 42, "Nevertheless, among the chief priests also, the chief rulers, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." You see this thing played out over and over and over again. People who at first have received the Word of God, they love it so much, can't get enough of it, but they're not willing to pay the price to keep it. "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." The Son of God explained that this way: "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word. But the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Well, I've seen many examples of that too, but I suppose the prime one would have to be Judas Iscariot. One of the 12 traveled with Jesus for 3 years. His ears heard all of the sermons that Jesus gave. And his eyes saw the miracles that Jesus did. But money was his God. And when Mary of Bethany came in that day with that very precious box of alabaster ointment and broke it and poured it on the feet of Jesus, this was more than Judas could stomach. "To what purpose is this waste?" he said. "The ointment should have been sold and the money should have been given to the poor." And all the disciples joined in as that really sounded good. But the Holy Spirit tells us what was in the heart of Judas. This he said because he carried the treasury bag. And he would reach his hand in and siphon it out. The guy was a thief. And finally, he had to make a choice. Instead of choosing the eternal word of life, he grabbed for 30 pieces of silver. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. So over and over and over and over, this thing happened. Now the surprising thing for us is that the Holy Spirit quotes from Isaiah 53. If there ever was a chapter in the Old Testament that beautifully portrayed the gospel, it was Isaiah 53. Listen to some of the words. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. But the words of the chapter begin this way. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Isaiah had that feeling that I believe every true prophet has had at one time or another. God, is anybody buying this? Does anybody really believe it? And there aren't very many, because the flock is small. You have here in John 12 a very clear teaching of the total depravity of the human heart. When Adam fell and rebelled against God, he took us all with him. And we are born in a tragic situation, having eyes that cannot see and ears that cannot hear. And not only that, but hearts that are deceitfully wicked. We are enemies of God right from the very beginning. The picture cannot possibly be painted blacker than it really is. It's a desperate, desperate situation that we find ourselves in by nature. And what we read here, the people rejecting, really should not be surprising at all. The surprise comes when anybody does believe it. That's the surprise. Because every time it's a powerful miracle of the Holy Spirit. Now these men in John chapter 12 show themselves to be true children of their fathers. Way back in Deuteronomy chapter 29, Moses said this to the people. And I'm in chapter 29, verse 2, 3, and 4. Moses called unto all Israel and said to them, ye have seen that what the Lord God did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh, and unto all his servants and unto all his land, and the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. Well, these people had seen a lot. They were slaves down in Egypt. God sent Moses to Pharaoh. Thus saith the Lord God, let my people go. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord God? I know not the Lord God, neither will I let his people go. And the battle lines were drawn. 10 plagues God sent down into that land of Egypt. And the people saw these things. And Pharaoh finally was knocked to the ground. Finally agreed to let the people go. But then when they were encamped by the Red Sea, he had second thoughts. And he sent his 6,600 chosen chariots out, his powerful, powerful army, the most powerful army in the world, to retake the people. And the people saw God open the waters of the Red Sea. And they walked through and they saw the waters close on Pharaoh's army. They saw all these things. And when they were in the wilderness, they saw the manna come down from heaven. And they saw all these miracles out there. And they didn't believe. They had eyes that could not see. They had ears that could not hear. You know, there's an old saying, the apple never falls very far from the tree. And the rotten apples here in John 12 didn't fall very far from the tree either. The same unbelief we saw in their father's hearts, we see here. Didn't make any difference how many miracles the Son of God performed. No one else in history has ever given sight to the blind. Ever. Only the Son of God did that. He raised a man from the dead who had been dead and buried for 4 days and the body had already begun to decay. This was only a few days before John chapter 12. Didn't make any difference. The unbelief response was, we can't deny the miracle. And then they couldn't. It was done in a cemetery outside of Bethany, less than 5 miles from the temple in Jerusalem. And there were hundreds and hundreds of people there that saw it. And Lazarus was walking around alive. They couldn't deny that it had happened. Ah, but they had their own explanation for it. This man does his miracles because he's in cahoots with the devil. He receives his power from Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. None of that makes any difference. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. Well, now the Almighty God steps in. Therefore, they could not believe. Because Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, that I should heal them. Notice the difference between verse 37 and verse 39. In verse 37, they did not believe. In verse 39, they could not believe. You know, you cannot play games with God. You can reject only so often. And there's a point of no return. When you pass that point of no return, it's all over. It's all over. Then God becomes an enemy. When God is your enemy, you're done. After these things, Jesus departed and did hide himself from them. And it's all over now. They can live 100 years more. It's not going to make any difference. It's done. It's all over. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. When did Isaiah see the glory of God? When did that happen? Well, it happened. It happened in Isaiah chapter 6. That's where it happened. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Jesus had shown himself to Isaiah. And Isaiah saw that and believed. Do you? Do I? What kind of ground are we? Are we good ground? Mix the Word of God with faith and live according. By the grace of God, be willing to die for what we believe? Or is it the other way? The poet puts it this way. Light accepted bringeth sight. Light rejected bringeth night. If I the love of light do lose, who will help me cite to choose. We'll close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, it is only by Your grace and love and mercy that any of us are able to believe and accept the words which have come from Your lips. And we pray that You fill all of our hearts with Your Holy Spirit. And in Your grace and love and mercy, have Him give us eyes that can see and ears that can hear and hearts that through His honor and glory produce fruit unto perfection. We pray this in Your name. Amen.